Happy International Women's Day. To celebrate this year's International Women's Day, we invited some of the women at ICON to come together to discuss some of the things that affect them at work as women. In the discussion, we have Becca, our Business Development Manager, Tash from the Accounts Team, Vanessa, our Quality and Supply Chain Director, Millie, a Senior Global Mobility Coordinator, Katrina from the Marketing Team, and Amanda and Danny from our Property Support Team. The theme of this year's International Women's Day is Inspire Inclusion. We hope that by talking about these issues, we can encourage more conversations around them and keep women included in the workplace.
We have invited some ladies in our organisation to get together for some quality girl chat on the things that they feel are important. We asked everyone what issues they would like to discuss, and the subjects of PMS, menopause, pregnancy in the workplace, and being a working mum were all things that we felt passionate about. So, Millie, why do you feel strongly about the topic of PMS, and how do you think this is addressed in the workplace?
It obviously affects people differently. Mm-hmm. And for me personally, I don't get any physical symptoms, but for me mentally, it's quite a struggle. For me each month, and I think relating to work, it can be quite a challenge just to do my job some days. And although obviously I get on with it, it is hard on some days, and I think other people maybe don't struggle the same way.
No.
Or maybe it's not recognized as something each month, so I think it's good for people to be aware of it.
The thing is, it's not occasionally either. It's every month. It happens so much, exactly. And it's not really talked about much at all.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It does obviously fluctuate from one month to another.
So what you might be feeling, others might not feel.
Yeah.
So even within not every woman will sympathize with what you're going through, because again, not everyone will have those symptoms, as you say, whether they're physically or emotionally
Which is weird though, isn't it? Because you can't relate from one woman to the other, and sometimes you find yourself being like, oh, it can't be that hard, but actually everyone's experience is so individual, isn't it? So what someone finds challenging during that time is completely different to somebody else, and some people don't suffer at all or very minimal amount, and sometimes people don't think or don't realize that they're struggling or realize it's a problem and notice the pattern. Whereas obviously yours is obviously something that happens on a regular basis, and you've lived with that for a certain amount of time, so you realize that there is a pattern to that mental dip, but sometimes people might not recognize that's a problem on a regular basis, and they think that why am I feeling like this, when actually it's down to their menstrual cycle.
Exactly. And the reason I wanted to talk about it was I've been listening to a separate podcast about this subject, and it's been really like eye-opening just hearing other people's stories. And I think there just needs to be generally more awareness about it, especially in the workplace, because I think a lot of women's health issues, they're not recognised even by doctors in some cases.
We're going to go on to talking about menopause, and that's the perfect example of it not being recognised. Well, it is recognised, but it tends to be recognised for women over the age of 50, which is not actually true, because you can get perimenopause from as early as in your mid-20s. And that's a perfect example of, and doctors can, say to you, oh, no, you late 30s, early 40s definitely is not menopause. But actually, the more research that's going into it, those symptoms that women are going through are linked to menopause. So, but I think really exactly what you said is awareness and trying to make people aware. And again, it's not just the opposite sex, it's even amongst us as women, because until you go through it, you are only able to sympathize with somebody else that's going through the same thing as you. And I guess it's always harder to put
see
it from a different perspective.
Yeah, I think generally as well, like for women's health, the GP is so, it's not geared up towards, because they obviously have to know a lot about things.
Yeah.
I think there's a lack of knowledge or acceptance of diagnosis or things of like in that kind of area. So I think there is generally a lack of support there for your GP. So you go to like your GP if you're struggling, whatever. And it might not be that they're like, oh, well, it's just your period, you know, or something like that. Or people struggle badly with other symptoms. Like, I had post C-section endometriosis, and it wasn't until I looked into it personally and went to the GP and said, this is what I think I've got. Yeah. And it's really well known and well documented that endometriosis can get misdiagnosed or undiagnosed for such a long period of time for women. And they're usually brushed off with, you just got really bad period pains. And if you could experience the pain of a woman that goes through endometriosis as opposed to a bad period pain, if you could put that pain into somebody, you would quickly realise that that is vastly different from each other. But that's just one isolated example. But in terms of like women's health and just a lack of like knowledge across the board, but I think things are very easily brushed to the wayside just because historically things have been, oh, let's not talk about that, because it's all such a like a taboo subject.
But it is becoming more, people are starting to talk more about it. And then you've got, you know, people like Davina McCall going onto TV talking about it, which then helps in turn for us to bring it to the table at work and speak about it more. But it's key that the women speak about it to make men feel comfortable. If we're comfortable about sharing our experiences, and then we're educating the men, because ultimately it's difficult for them to approach, and they don't know what to say or how to help. And I think that's where internally we're trying to see what we can do with our policies across the board for different women health, to see what we can do to help, and as I say, educate senior management and managers so that they can understand and sympathize and offer the right solutions to the team member, whether that's flexible working and working from home when you're going through a spell of bad PMS or hot flushes or whatever it is. And I think that's key. And obviously, yes, again, like we say, just keep talking amongst and making everyone feel comfortable that it's not something that is taboo. It's part of our journey of womanhood.
Absolutely. And like other things like the podcast that you're listening to, Millie, more things like that will bring things into the forefront and more exposure to conversations that then make it easier to talk about. Because as women, even now, although things have got a lot better, you do feel like you have to kind of suffer in silence sometimes if you're having problems, because it doesn't, it's not a conversation that is broadly had, even between women to women, a lot of the time.
No, exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's why we need to be talking about it more for it to become comfortable and the norm, to be able to say, and I guess maybe it's part of just being embarrassed and people are shy. Some are more outspoken than others.
Yeah,
and some people feel uncomfortable to share it, but we'll only change
when we first tried to record this podcast, wasn't it?
Exactly.
Talking in front of a whole
office of people.
It was quite uncomfortable.
Absolutely. Have you gone to the doctors about your
feelings? No, I have actually looked into it, because there was an episode on the podcast about PMDD, which is more premenstrual disorder.
So I got diagnosed with,
which I do believe I had.
Because
it's more of an extreme version of PMS.
It can, and the thing with PMDD is you can have a period of time in which you're absolutely fine.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a cloud has gone, everything's lifted, and you could be walking down the road and you're like on another level of happy. And then within the space of a couple of days, you just feel like everything's closing in on you and you can't handle. It's overwhelming. You get taken to dark places. You feel worthless. You feel paranoia. I felt extreme paranoia, like people were against me. And it was almost like, at times I felt as though people would be better off if I wasn't personally here, because I didn't know whether or not I was just bringing people around me down And it was only when I saw something on the BBC, and I think it was either before COVID or after COVID, but it was women basically coming on and saying, on the news, it was like they were saying, you know, this isn't just period issues. This is mental
debilitation. Mental.
Yeah, it was like it takes it onto a different level, and it's basically from your luteal phase to your ovulation. It's just that time in which your hormone changes are so erratic that you just can't. Your body just doesn't know how to handle it.
To handle that,
which is probably a mixture of endometriosis and PMDD was one of the reasons why I chose to have an early total hysterectomy, because my life, it was becoming so difficult to maintain. And I went to the doctors, and the thing that the doctors will do is they'll give you an antidepressant and say, try this for 3 months and see how you get on with it.
Yeah.
And we'll give you a contraception pill, or we'll stop your ovaries from working and see how we get on with that with an injection.
Mm.
And let me know in 3 months how you feel.
And how are you feeling after the hysterectomy?
Well, now I've just got all the symptoms of the menopause.
Yeah.
And no HRT is helping me.
Exactly.
So, you know, I'm having to deal with all the effects of menopause.
Yeah.
And
which, again, the list of symptoms of menopause is rather large.
Yeah.
People don't realize it. You just assume it's hot flushes, and but there is so much. And again, it's also mentally, because it can affect you.
So draining. Mm-hmm. And then you've got to kind of pick yourself up every day, either go to work or look after your kids, carry on as normal. But there's some days I'll just stand in my living room and I'll be like, I've got no idea what I'm doing.
Brain fog.
Yeah, brain
fog.
Yeah. Sometimes if I see your emails coming through at work, I'll just look at the email. And I can see writing, I'm looking at it thinking, yeah. Wow, I think I either need more coffee or I need more sleep.
But it's hard though when you're working though, isn't it, to go through something like that and for people to understand, because, you know, what we do, we're so fast-paced and you've got to really be on the ball constantly.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just need a moment to just step away.
Yeah.
And have a breather, because, it's real, isn't it? Brain fog. Doesn't matter if you're pregnant. Yeah, brain fog. So PMS through to menopause. So, and again, it's educating others around us to sometimes understand and see that actually you're having a moment and it's okay.
Yeah, just kind of just let you be.
I'll be back in the room in a minute.
Yeah.
Without
giving each other some grace.
Without sounding narrow-minded, I didn't realise how I know women can be affected mentally in terms of like your cycle and periods and stuff, but I think personally for me, I always treat, because I have suffered with mental health issues in the past, and then I suffer completely differently than Millie. My symptoms of PMS are completely physical, almost every month's different, but sometimes debilitating in the sense that I can't get out of bed because my back hurts, my stomach hurts, the pain makes me physically ill,
mm-hmm.
like to the point of throwing up. So it's quite eye-opening to hear you talk about the mental side of things, because I never sort of link the two.
Mm.
I just sort of think, oh God, I'm having to cry because my hormones are like all over the place.
Yeah.
But actually, it is a mental health issue as well.
It is a mental health. I think throughout, as you say, once you start your period, right through to the change of going through menopause, it is mental.
Pretty much the mental health
of your life. But actually, I read an interesting article regarding menopause that it's just over 40% of women over the age of 50 actually start to look at resigning from work due to the symptoms that they get of menopause.
Yeah.
And that's significant. I mean, that's a lot. I mean, you generally at that age, you're at the peak of your career. You're comfortable and you've got so much knowledge and expertise. So actually, in the working world, they end up losing a lot of talent if women walk away at that time in their lives.
Yeah.
And it's due to companies not actually having something to support women going through the transition. Yeah.
Do you think that, like Millie, day to day, like when you have a spell of bad PMS, is it noticed and recognised across your peers? Like, do people realise that you're struggling, or do you hide it?
Well, some days I'm not great at hiding it. You probably know.
Mm-hmm.
tapping hard.
Sometimes on a hot day.
Wednesday, I used to say to you. Minnie doesn't like Wednesdays.
No, I think it's definitely harder on some days, and probably people do notice it. Other days, I just kind of go into myself, and then I don't really interact unless I have to with people.
And are you okay with that? You're okay with people leaving you alone, or would you like to people often recognize it and say, "Are you feeling okay?" Or would you like? I don't know what the general consensus is.
I think some people like being left alone. I like it when people ask
my check in to see how you're doing.
But I'm okay with being left alone.
And again, it's a good question though, because everyone's going to have a different way of dealing with it. Some people will be like, I don't want the attention, just leave me alone. And others will be like, check in on me. Yeah, I just need a hug.
I just wondered, I'm very much the same. I'd just rather be like, I'm fine, I'm getting on with it, I'll deal with it in my own time. But some people like to speak it out and let someone else hear so that you get another perspective, or make sure that you're not being silly, or it's just so that whatever you're feeling is valid and validated by somebody else. And sometimes it's quite a good idea to share that so that people then start having the understanding rather than thinking,
thinking about it, sometimes it just probably maybe it is PMDD that I've got, I don't know, but it does kind of build up to a point where I'm like, oh, I haven't actually spoken to anyone about how I'm feeling. No one understands me, and then that makes that feeling feel worse.
Yeah, feel even more isolated.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, probably good. Yeah. Talk about it a bit more. But
it's interesting, obviously, hearing you talk, because obviously most of you are in the office, and it comes to mind, what are those that work remotely going through? I mean, in one instance, it's great that they're on their own, so they can have the hot water bottle. But in another instance, they're not getting mental support from colleagues around them. So it's just an interesting perspective to hear. I don't suffer with PMS, but if I did, sometimes I'm just thinking, if you're going through a dark period, it would be good to have the office banter
I think some days when I'm at home, I'm just like, I need people around me to get me going, because I do just go into myself even more, and it's harder to motivate myself.
Exactly. So there's perks of being at home when you're going through it, but ultimately it's also good to be around people to lift your spirits up.
We've got Tash here.
Quick,
before Tash gives it. Help and hot water. Now, how many weeks pregnant are you now?
39 and a couple. due in 4 days.
I'll ask a question. Okay. So obviously this is your second one. How do you feel about going off work? Because obviously when you first go off, the first time you have a child, it's very different to how you're feeling. So how are you feeling now at this stage, because you've done it before? That about going away from the working world?
I'm definitely harder this time around, because you kind of got yourself back into a routine, and then you've got to stop that routine again and then basically restart yourself. And obviously because you've already got another kid there as well, it just makes everything a little bit more challenging, I guess. And it's that sort of thing where you, because you have become a bit more committed to your workplace and stuff, you then don't want to let them down and go off again.
Yeah.
So it's hard to think, is there going to be something for me to come back to, or do I want to come back? Because I've got the secret, I do want to come back, so that's fine. But I cannot be a stay-at-home mum, no chance.
That comes with a whole lot of other challenges.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it's that sort of thing where you don't want to let anybody down. So you don't want to let your current children down, your family down, your workplace down. But then
it's a balance to be a working mom. And I think this lovely little word called guilt comes in, because you're guilty when you're with your children, because you're thinking about work, and then when you're at work, you're guilty because you're not spending time with your children.
Yeah.
And it's a juggling act. And personally, I couldn't be a stay-at-home mom either. And I take my hat off to those that are stay-at-home moms, because that is not an easy time. I need a bit of that break. But equally said, I love my kids like you do, Becca and you, Tash. And it's a hard juggle. especially when they stick and you're like, oh, yeah. My gosh, and you're like,
who can I palm them off to?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's always the hardest part of and also returning back to work. I think that's a key thing. And that's, again, something that we're looking at internally. How can we support women in the organization when they're returning back? Because it is a massive deal. I know from my experience, and Becca, I'll ask over to you, but the very first time I left, I had this preconception of how it was going to be so easy to come back.
Yeah.
And I was wrong. I thought, oh, after 9 months, I'm definitely, and I ended up taking a full year because I wanted to be with my baby.
Yeah.
But returning, the effect that it has on your self-confidence being away for a year is dramatic. And again, that's not something people will understand until they go through it.
Yeah.
Because you've been away from the working world, regardless of how long you've been in the industry, and I've been in the industry for quite a few years, still taking a year out, you think, oh my gosh, do I remember what I was able to do? How, yeah. And am I going to be able to juggle everything, being a mom and working?
Yeah.
And it's a huge transition. And I think that's where one of the good things that the government have introduced is the kid days, which I obviously would strongly recommend anyone to take those in and to gently get themselves back into working.
Mm.
But those first few months are hard when you're back into work.
Yeah.
Because it's trying to find yourself again, and you aren't the same person that you left.
No.
And I think it's also hard for the company because
to understand.
You understand
that you're a different person.
You are a different person.
So I found the shift hard from being pregnant and working, thinking, same as you, everything's going to be fine. No. I'm like really like, you know, work hard, and I'm very like driven on that. And then my situation was a little bit different because I abruptly left and didn't return because I had my children early. But you then, all of a sudden, your day to day, Monday to Friday, was just work and you. And then you have something to look after and you don't have your normal routine. And I think one thing and I'm talking about my situation, I stayed at home. I was on full maternity leave and my husband went back to work quite quickly because that's just our setup, and I know that's still a large percentage of the UK setup, but I don't think they understand that mental shift either. And you kind of resented for a few weeks, like, your day has not changed at all.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
You get up, you get yourself ready, and you go to work. And I ended up finding myself feeling jealous that he had no other responsibilities from 7 o'clock in the morning to when he left until like 4 or 5 o'clock when he got home. He just had to worry about himself doing work. And I didn't want to detract from the fact that he was working very hard, but I was just like, I was jealous of missing out on that part of the day because that
is an adult stimulation. You want to just speak to an adult as much as you love your baby, but
And then your whole work is like you're waiting
for them to come home though.
Yeah.
You're waiting for
someone. And then that makes you even more angry.
Take the baby.
But then when I came back to work, the shift of being like, right, so now I've got to work out how to work and
look after my family, look after
my children,
and
make sure that they go to childcare. Or
I think it's exactly that. I think it's the mental load, and it's not taking away anything from dads because dads are important parts of it. And I think, like most of us in the room, I've got a very hands-on partner, but he still isn't the one that I'm literally doing work and I'm going through my tasks for work. But in the back of my head is that I'm like, oh, it's World Book Day. World Book Day. I'm like, okay, Amazon, great. Call for Amazon. Next day delivery. But it's the mental load that we have as women on top of everything else that we're doing that, you know, a man wouldn't really understand unless you're a single dad and take that role on. But if you, you know.
Or if you're the dominant parent.
Or you're the dominant parent, exactly.
Did any of you have a conversation with your partners where you were considering your partner sort of being the dominant parent, maybe working part-time?
Are you working full-time?
No.
To be fair, the first time round with my first, he was actually able to work part-time for a couple of months, so he could stay at home with me for a little bit longer, which was really nice.
Mm.
This time around, that's certainly not going to happen. I mean, all they get is technically a week or two.
Yeah,
is nowhere near enough.
There's a lot of talk about looking to support a family unit because there could be a dad that wants to be the main stay at home.
And you can share your parental
you
leave.
And then it means the other one has to go back.
Yes,
so you can't actually have that. You're not having it together.
Yeah.
So it's almost pointless.
Can I just also mention, because I know that we're talking about pregnancy and obviously what that feels like being at work, but I also experience hyperemesis. Not so much with my first. I mean, I was nauseous and very poorly, but to the point in which I couldn't work. But with my youngest, I had started a new job and then I fell pregnant. A lovely surprise. But what I have in my family and what I suffered with was hyperemesis, which meant that I was continuously being sick throughout my pregnancy and every single day, which meant that I couldn't physically work. And I remember speaking to my employer at the time and ringing her up and saying, I'm so sorry, I'm not going to be able to make in today. I've already been sick a handful of times. And she said to me, am I really going to be getting this phone call every day from you?
Mm-hmm.
And I was, you know, when you just go, okay, so if it's going to be like that, I'm going to have to go to the GP and get signed off because I can't be putting myself in that anxious conversation every day.
Yeah,
I need to go to the doctor. And
but this is a perfect example of woman not supporting woman. And I think this is what we're trying, this whole point of our conversation today, is actually being able to be supportive of each other, even if we don't know what the other one's going through.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it has to be us for it then to trickle down to other people and other generations. So
we have to advocate for each other, don't we, in order for
it completely
successful down the line.
And it is disappointing, like what you went through. It's always hard when you're getting it from another.
Less premise to say it wasn't an icon.
It was. That would have never happened.
I'm an icon. I'm not so much from other places that I've worked. I mean, I had endometriosis as well as you, Becca, but like I remember there was a bit of a joke, a bit of a banter going on in the office, and we were mimicking each other, just very kind of like, you know, on just having a joke. And one of the ones for me was, oh, I'm Amanda, I'm going to call up with another stomach ache.
Oh,
and you know when you just go, oh no, why did you go there?
Yeah,
like, you just don't do that. And you know, it did change the dynamic in the office because I did feel very kind of like, oh, okay, is that how you look at my situation now?
Yeah.
Rather than, okay, I don't have to worry too much about, you know, I've got the understanding. You know that I'm going for, you know, 6 months. Up London hospital appointments, you know, have this reviewed. They just saw it as a, oh, I have just a tummy ache.
Yeah. Mm. I think, though, times have changed, especially since COVID, because of weight effects, flexible working and working remotely. And I think that's actually such a big plus for us in the working world, especially going through something like this, because if you are going through a bad spell, then at least you've got the flexibility, at least we do, and you know, here at Icon, that you can approach and say, right, I'm not feeling great, so I need to be working from home today.
Yeah,
and that would have been a huge help for you in that situation. I know, although you were throwing up constantly,
there was a little more in the bed. Daytime TV watching, and
there's only so much you can do when you're in that situation.
Yeah, it wasn't nice. You know, I think when it comes down to women's health and issues like this, it is such a recent thing, and they are still learning how to approach, how to talk about this. But I think there is still that how it makes you feel being able to speak about that. I mean, I can talk about this in a room for the women and not feel like I have to hold back, not be able to talk about this. You know, am I going to embarrass anyone?
Do you think we feel like it's a sign of weakness?
I think
especially in a working environment.
Definitely.
Because and even sometimes with other females.
Yeah.
Because if they're not going through it, you think, oh, I'm portrayed to be weaker.
Which it's not. Feel like you need to, you know, work that little bit harder to have your place recognised in the workplace as a woman. And then to be like, well, I've got this and it's going to affect my work. You then feel like, well, I don't really want to tell anyone that because they'll think that I can't do my job or it would be a negative impact to the business. So I think
as times go forward, that is less of a...
But that is, if negative. I link it back to being a parent,
yeah,
it's equally the same thing if you are a parent, whether you're working part-time or full-time. If you've got a sick child, it is, you're constantly thinking, oh, I've had my child sick twice this month. Yeah. And you're always feeling like you've got to overcompensate. But ultimately, at the end of the day, we're all good at our jobs. You wouldn't be here if we weren't good at our jobs. But you have to constantly prove yourself. That's how you feel. But that's like an internal thing, 100%. Not what others are viewing you as.
But I think as well, coming back to your point about the flexible working, COVID, that being a plus that came out of COVID, if your child is off sick, then you can still work at home. Yes. You don't have to be like, well, I can't work. Yes. And if they're obviously really unwell and you want to be with them, that's different. But, you know, if they've just got sickness bug or they're home with the temperature, you can plop them on the sofa and you can carry on.
I mean, we've all had our children join us on calls. So it's
I can't even see your voice on calls.
No, keeping in.
And then they're going sticking their tongues out.
And again, that's, I think, such a lovely part because that is part of you and that's part of your life. And you spend so much time at work that it needs to fit well into your life, isn't it? And your children are, you know, we are a family orientated company and we always want people to be able to obviously put their family first. So if you can work from home with your kid there, why not?
I think as well it helps bridge the gap between work and family life, doesn't it? Definitely. So that there's not so much, some people want the isolation, you know, I'm work at work and home at home, that's fine. But I think by having the flexible working from home, having family around sometimes if you're on a call or whatever, it kind of merges those two together a little bit, which makes them it a little bit more cohesive between the two places. Definitely. Which then makes your colleagues know you better and then understand you better.
Exactly. It's like others have pets at home and we get their cats coming across. But that's part of them and we want to also know them, whether you've got children or not. That's your home environment, isn't it?
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I think coming sort of back to like the pregnancy side of things, I think one thing that I did find difficult last time, like coming back, was the breastfeeding.
Yes.
That's something that, I mean, this
that is a hard.
huge topic anyway, but it's still a massive taboo.
Yeah.
Because I was still breastfeeding my first until she was just 4 2. So that was only sort of October last year. But there isn't really anything set up for it in the workplace.
Mm-hmm. And you realize, not in the UK, I mean, you know, if you go to Nordic countries, it's a huge thing.
Yeah, you have
exactly.
Which is a big thing. And that, so. I'll turn the question then on to you. What do you think, as a company, we could do to support on?
Here it's a little bit more difficult because there's not really any solitary place you can go.
Well, we're just about to renovate the whole office, so put that in the plan.
Thankfully, they let me work from home to start with when I first she was about a year, so it wasn't so important. But then after that, it's like I still have to keep up with pumping because you've got the risk of mastitis. It's not just a case of, oh, you know, I need to feed my kid or anything. It's actually your health with it. And I was sort of finding that I was sort of coming upstairs, sitting there with my pump, just thinking, okay, this is making a bit of a noise. If someone comes up, it's really awkward.
Yeah.
And obviously you don't want to accidentally slash or anything. So you're thinking, how do I do it?
Or you do it, then they don't come back. Well,
and it's just having that time as well, because depending on when you actually need to express, you might have to do it a few times a day. Now, is the workforce going to allow that? Would you then just split your lunch hour across? I mean, I ended up just doing it on my lunch hour, which was okay, but if I then come back a bit earlier this time round, I'm not sure how to do it, you know?
Yeah,
it's that sort of thing where what can you put in place, I guess. But here at the moment I can't really see.
We'll have a think, Tash.
Yeah.
We've got a few months anyway.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll come up with a good plan for Lance.
Put another one of these in.
Exactly.
I think in not even just for breastfeeding or anything, but just having like a little private space isn't a bad shout anyway.
Yeah.
Just somewhere if we just go and chill, if we just need that.
Yeah,
that's true. A little bit of downtime, just a nice. Like when you have like send kids and things when they've got like a little the
zone rooms. Which to be fair, that's not a bad idea. I mean, it could be linking into going through PMS and other things. It's actually just having
a space
where you are having just even me and Lee just having a moment of brain fog and you just want to get away, it's actually maybe having an area that we can have open to whoever needs
quiet space, quiet room,
and how we can inspire inclusion as per.
I hope this conversation will inspire that, like, because we are including other people in our personal experience.
By talking about it.
Yeah,
I'm going to do the boring one to link it back into quality and all the policies we have.
Who's the quality as I'm
But I think that's, as a company, we're in a good place because we are constantly looking at those policies and trying to be inclusive internally. So women's health, our menopause policy, which again, the auditor last year was surprised to see it because he said it's the first time he's actually seen it in our industry, somebody having a menopause policy. Is that good enough? And looking at our maternity policy, what we've got there to offer, and our return to work aspect of it. We've got the PMS one, but actually I think after today, I'm going to re-look at everything again. And actually tap into all of you to have a chance to read it and give some guidance because, we need everybody's perspective on it. But we're in a good place. We've got these policies, but it's always making sure we're on top of it and trying to enhance them and make them better.
Changing them and making the adaptations based on the conversations we're having today and learning about people's experiences and how things, because you can write things in a policy, but actually not one situation.
And if I haven't experienced it, which I wouldn't have experienced all the year, I can only take from what I'm researching, but ultimately it's better to come from somebody that's gone through that situation themselves.
I think it's such a great idea when you're putting together a policy that's uniquely about women's experience. Just open it up, have a forum, invite everyone's opinions, and then everyone can feel confident that the policy works.
Included. And it is, but then you feel part of the change that we're trying to make internally, isn't it? So when you see the menopause policy or the maternity policy, then you feel like, okay, great, we were part of those discussions and what's been put in place.
I think inclusion is just recognising there are differences for everybody and making sure that everyone's opinion is validated and taken on board and making sure that everyone feels included in whatever situation that is. We're talking about women at the minute and the issues that we've experienced is based on the topics we've spoken about, but then inclusion is across the board, isn't it,
inclusion is generally actually educating. You include people too, so equally we're talking about women's health and what we're going through as women, but it's to include the men in the company and making them feel comfortable with those policies, this training that we always offer internally so that the senior management know how to, if somebody within their team approaches them to discuss that. But generally speaking, we'd always have an option to speak to female senior management so that, again, feels comfortable. But it's making men aware and understanding if you are calling in and saying that you're unwell, that they can give you some air of grace and obviously knowing the steps of how they can support you or guide you to somebody else that can be able to support.
Yeah. I think that's a really good, education and understanding. Yeah. I think that really does sum it up because I think for a very long time it was that misunderstanding that it all, one fit all.
Yeah.
And, there is so many different levels of women's health and everything, and just being able to kind of talk about it is a sense of educating other people's, thought processes on how different people suffer how even just by talking about it, that can mentally help, just that one person.
Yeah.
I think as well, it's recognising what our experience is and how it makes other people feel on the receiving end. Because that's like spoke earlier about, our partners experiencing when we go through the menstrual cycle and any PMS symptoms and stuff, they are mostly on the receiving end of any negative things. So it's just making sure that we understand them in the process as well. Obviously, we're heavily talking about the women in the situation, how it affects the men.
It's equally said that because you could have a colleague that their wife has got these symptoms at home.
Yeah.
And him coming to work is his bit of a break.
Yeah.
And, then you said this to a colleague that's going through this. But it's actually offering support equally to the men that are coming in, and by educating them, hopefully, that actually helps them when they go home. And they can support us if they want.
Yeah, absolutely.
My partner came from a house of brothers, a dad, and a mum that didn't suffer with sickness during pregnancy, didn't really have any PMS, and didn't really have any symptoms in the menopause. So when he met me, 40.
Absolute shocker.
You went through an easy laugh. Now you've got to the real one.
Hello, meet me. Oh, that was a good old chat, wasn't it?
Many thanks to Becca, Tash, Vanessa, Millie, Katrina, Amanda and Danny for talking about their experiences and showing that no two women have the same experience. By talking more about some of the issues that many women deal with regularly, we hope some of our listeners might feel more comfortable having these discussions with their colleagues too.